Now I'll be running through a number of these techniques of controlling. How do we go about controlling? What sort of techniques we need? Techniques means tools. So broadly in controlling, there are two types of tools. One which is called as qualitative in nature. It's controlling attributes, the features of the products or the services. The second one is a quantity. So there are two types of controlling. One is quantitative, the other one is qualitative. Now, when I say quantitative, I'm talking about measurables. The example I gave you about 100 plus 5 and 100 minus 5 is quantitative in nature. Easy to measure, anybody can do it. Quantitative controls are objective and very easy. But qualitative control are subjective. Subjective means it's anybody's word. For example, this pointer I'm holding in my hand has got a certain surface finish. Now, this surface finish to my colleague behind the camera, he'll say that this is smooth. What's the word he's using? Smooth. I'll say, hey, come on, it's not smooth, it's quite rough. So, is it really smooth? Is it really rough? How do I know? How does he know? Who decides? Attribute. Now, if this has to be decided in scientific management process, what is not measurable? What do we use? We use what is called as a relative scale. Make a note. For quantitative measure, there is absolute scale. 100 is absolute. Whether I say 100 in France, Italy, India, Australia, 100 is 100. Everybody knows it. But if I say smooth and rough, between four people, we'll have different versions. How will I sell my product then? And so, when it comes to attributes, qualitative control, we create what is called as a relative scale. Now, what's a relative scale? A relative scale is nothing but we first and foremost create some product samples. It's like an FMCG company which is selling, let's say, a new juice, a new drink. They keep it at certain points of purchase, POP places, and they offer it to you and me when we go there to buy some merchandise. And they ask you to drink and they say, how do you feel it? Then there's a rating sheet given, right? In that they'll say, okay, in a scale of 1 to 7 or 1 to 10, where do you think this is? I'll say 5, somebody else will say 4. And they keep on collecting this market survey. And then they'll find that majority of the people are saying 6. Or majority are saying 5. Or it is dispersed. Now, from the findings, to cut the whole story short, they will arrive at where this particular drink is accepted by the people. And then depending upon the acceptance, they'll say, wow, this particular drink has been made in this fashion. Process steps A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. So when I put process steps A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, it gives me a product which is accepted on a scale of 1 to 10 at 6. Okay? And then what they'll say, this 6 is a norm. So this particular product is said to be A, B, C, D. They give attributes. And people buy it. Now, they can do this only after they understand the taste of people on a relative scale. This scale I talked about, 1 to 7 and 1 to 10, is a relative scale. Majority of the people, they are falling in a certain band. So on the basis of this, the company creates what are called as SOP, Standard Operating Practices. Take a McDonald's. When you go to the restaurant and order for French fries, whether you order it in Mumbai or you order it in Delhi or abroad, is the taste same? Yes. That's because that taste has been accepted after going through a number of tests of consumers long, long back. And they keep on improving upon it because tastes keep changing. Right? The discussion I am holding right now is to sensitize you to understand that in controlling, there is qualitative as well as quantitative controlling. And today when we talk about 80% of businesses in the world is service sector. Services intangible. Services created and consumed at the same time. So when I go to the restaurant and I'll say, this waiter is a good guy or this food is good. My colleague, she comes with me and she says, no, this is not good. So it's my word against her word. I'll recommend her. I said, please go and have food there. She said, I went and had food. It's horrible. Now, when these things are coming subjective, today there is a greater need for the controlling element to be understood. Why is it that we keep going to a certain restaurant again and again? Why is it that we bank with a certain bank again and again? Why is it that we go to a certain mall again and again for shopping? Only because those people seem to have understood the qualitative aspects of what needs to be controlled so that we go there. Market survey does this. Forecasting does this. In the forecasting chapter, we spoke about the importance of projecting the future, seeing the future. So all this tells us some idea about how the qualitative part also comes. So in this entire gamut of what is given here as the techniques of controlling, you'll be finding some of them are qualitative in nature, some of them are quantitative in nature, some of them are both. It requires tremendous amount of skill and practice to learn qualitative controlling. To know that this is smooth, three of us are here. So all the three of us, if we have to know this is smooth uniformly, then we need to know what is a relative scale. And then from that basis, we can do the further machining of this, further processing of this particular surface, so that we all get that same thing which we want. Those of you who are using the Fair and Lovely cream, for example, haven't you seen the advertisements? The lady is holding one small strip in which there are very different shades of color. That's a relative scale. So how do I know what is fair? Fair is with respect to some norm they have already set, right? Now, I wanted to think in this direction when you talk about controlling, right? Now, there's a very big list given here. I'll try and cover as many as possible because this has to be properly understood by each of us. So I'll take as many as possible, okay? So let me take the first one, statistical control reports and personal observation. Two are coming on the slide. In scientific management process, controlling is done using mathematical models. We take mathematics, we put them into certain forms, applied forms like statistics, game theory, etc. And using that, we try to do the controlling. These types of reports are prepared quantitative terms and used in large organizations. Then the variations from the standards can be easily measured. For example, I use statistics in the stock market, the variation of the stock over the last 300 days, over the last 60 days, etc. So the statistics will give you histograms, pie charts, etc. we use, right? It's a form of a controlling. It gives me a snapshot about what's happening, what's going wrong, what's going right. By the way, why is controlling important? Controlling is also important for the purpose of taking what is called as a decision using MIS, Management Information System. In fact, MIS is a form of a control. The entire information of the company, production part, materials part, everything comes to the table of the top management. That's called as MIS, Management Information Systems. How does information come? It comes from every department by understanding what's going on there with the proper control path. When it comes to the table, I'm in a position to take a proper decision for the company. Had there been no control, I may not know what will be the production for the next month. What will be the type of cars with my customers would like to have? How do I beat the competition? Imagine a haywire automobile unit. Just imagine, in which anything is going on. And then the CEO is planning to make some cars and sell it to the market. Just imagine the scenario. Is it possible? Very frightening, very stupid, isn't it? But these things happen in some form or the other in many organizations, believe it or not. It's not as bad as this, but that's how it happens. Sometimes the production does not know what materials is doing. The materials does not know what the dispatch is doing. Now they have to integrate. The integration itself, we learned this chapter on coordination, remember? Same coordination I talked about, linkages. So when we integrate them together, all these picture come properly, right? So second is personal observation. This is highly subjective and qualitative. Observing something and saying, yeah, it looks good, it's smooth, it's black. This personal observation. Personal observation is given a lot of credibility when it comes from experienced people. As a production engineer in the shop floor, I noticed that there were veterans who were in production. 15, 20 years they have spent in production, the same shop floor where I used to work. So when they used to come and look at something and say, this is not okay, personal observation. A particular machine is running and I had my works manager walking past, going for lunch. He just turns around and tells me, Venkat, this particular machine, this belt, fan belt is not okay. From the sound, he could, his personal observation. So I said, the servicing is already done. The maintenance is over just 2 days back. He said, watch out. He goes there, and by the time he comes back, there's a breakdown. Personal observation. This happens at home. Mom and dad, they have personal observation about many things at home, about the, your behavior. Does it not happen? You come in late, and mom's personal observation tells her that you are up to some thing. How does she know? Experience. So one of the controlling factors, one of the attributes of a personal observation to be accurate, to be effective, is experience, in short. Right? Next, cost accounting and cost control, very easy, all of you know about it. If I have to manufacture some products and sell it in the market, I need to have what is called as price pull. Pricing is what I give to the customer, and cost pull rather, and price push. So if I sell it at a very good price outside, I get a good profit. I can get a larger profit when I control the production itself. So there is a statement which says cost pull, pull the cost down and push the price up so that we get a larger profit margin. So cost accounting is all about the inputs that are going into the production of the service. How do we control the cost? Are we getting the best price, best cost from the raw material supplier? Are we getting the labor which is the best? Now remember, don't use the word cheap. Don't use the word lowest cost. We are talking about optimizing. Low pricing, low costing can come at the cost of quality. That's why we say management is the optimum utilization of available resources. Remember, all that has to be integrated. So when we talk about this, it's important for us to know that cost is a very, very important control which organizations follow. And with cost comes what is called as cost control, cost accounting and cost control. And for this, we have a special set of professionals who are called as cost accountants, right? Next, we talk about break-even analysis. Now, here the author has given two different types of scenarios, cellular manufacturing and also automated assembly. Now, I would rather, would like you to not dwell on this. I just want to dwell on the BEP, what is called as a break-even point. So, as I'm explaining this BEP, it's break-even point. Break-even point means that particular place, this place where the intersection takes place, A, B or C. These three intersection points are actually telling you how much of quantity to manufacture which will offset the sale price versus the cost price, in simple terms. Right? Now, I'm not getting into the mathematics part of it. This has been shown to demonstrate to us the importance of controlling at the manufacturing as well as at the sales level. So organizations set up their price points, as you call it. Organizations set up the price points based on BEP, break-even point. How many pieces do I need to sell so that my cost is offset and it becomes zero-zero? Anything above that, anything on this side, if I take this example of sales revenue given here, red line versus this B, this line which I'm tracing right now, this point is a BEP, the point B. So any quantity which I'm selling on this side is profits, this entire area. And anything below this area, I'm just tracing it for you. This area, whatever I sell, this quantity below that will be loss. So the BEP determines how much is the minimum quantity I need to manufacture and sell at that pricing, which will be exactly offsetting the cost and the pricing. Okay, this is a form of a control system which we follow. Now I'm taking you to the next one, special control reports and management audit. Now these are basically qualitative controlling. Using this technique, special control reports, a particular operation is investigated at a specific time for a particular purpose, and this is done according to the requirements of the management but not on a regular basis. I'll give you an example. There is a certain new project coming up, and we are doing what is called as pilot testing. A certain assembly has been made in an engineering factory, and they want to test it for its effectiveness, for its running. So they test it, and while they're testing it, there is a lot of focus on that by many experts. And they create what is called as a special control report to determine certain factors which they are studying. Let us say they want to study the speed of the shaft, or they want to study the number of units it's producing. It's the first time the pilot unit is working. So I may create what is called as a special control report to understand how to set controls for the future once it becomes a product which is getting manufactured regularly. A prototype or a pilot plant is for testing and confirming certain parameters. Once it goes on stream, then I need to have some control parameters to be put there. If I'm going to sell this pilot plant in a commercial basis, number of plants we are going to manufacture, then I need to know what speed it should have, what output it should have. So to see the thing here in the experimental stage, we generate what are called as special control reports, right? Now, management audit is very common. It aims at pointing out the inefficiency or the efficiency of performance of management functions such as planning, organizing, staffing, directing, controlling, and suggesting possible improvements. Very simple. In a management audit, I'm questioning, I'm understanding, I'm studying the various functions in management, which is planning, organizing, etc. How well the planning is going on in a company? I audit it. How well the controlling is going on itself? How well the organizing is going on? Now, auditing means what? There is a certain expectation that is set based on norms, and there is an output coming. I question the output with the idea of improving, and so that it goes in the proper level. So those invisible processes like planning, organizing, those are actually put into audit. That comes under what is called as management audit. And that comes in the form of some measurables, as I told you, to give you more clarity in this. So management audit is starting from measurables. The measurables are an outcome of something that is made as a planning. And then they see, is the planning process in the proper direction or not? For example, I could plan to make some components of this pointer in-house in the factory to which I belong. Now, when I make this, I'm getting some sort of a output. It's not getting made on time, there's a delay, you know, some things may be going wrong. Now I take a decision saying that this part of this components will be outsourced, coming from outside. Rest of it will be machined here. Now, this is a decision making I've taken, what is called as buy or make, make or buy. I make everything here or I buy it from outside and then assemble it, maybe partially or fully. Now this buy make decision will give some output. When I buy, I'll find that, you know, it's working out to be economical in terms of time and money and resources, or it may be the other way around when I make. Now this decision making is subjected to audit, and this is called as management audit. So the management audit, what it does is existing processes which are going on, they keep on questioning it. And management audit is a very important audit to be done by organizations to ensure that they are improving day after day and week after week and month after month, year after year. Okay. Next, standard costing. We have already covered this. I'm not going through this again. And then return on investment, ROI. Return on investment is a terminology we use when we're talking about projects. Projects are nothing but creation of an infrastructure. Infrastructure is required for what? For the purpose of production. Keywords: project, infrastructure, and production. If I want to produce steel, I need to create an infrastructure called a steel plant. The steel plant infrastructure, once it is ready, then the steel production will take place. To create the infrastructure called the steel plant, I need to have a project. So the project will entail many things: buying the land, paving the land properly, cutting out the trees, removing all the various things that are coming as impediments, then doing the surfacing, actual erection of the plant, installing the machinery, testing the machinery, electrical systems, electronic control systems, etc., etc. Now all this involves a number of activities. It costs two major resources: time and money. If the time increases beyond a specified time, it's called as overrun. If the cost also increases, it's overrun. When both of them increase, we have a major issue. The cost of the project goes up. When the cost of the project goes up, how do we recover the money? We recover it by having a higher pricing, of the product. When the product is priced higher, do I lose out on competition? Yes, I do. And so, what we need to do? We need to control the project itself through two means. One which I'm going to be talking a little later, called as PERT CPM. The other one is, I need to understand, if I'm putting so much amount of money, so much amount of manpower, so much amount of time, what am I getting back in return? So that's called as, I'm investing in time, investing in money, investing in manpower. So what is the return I'm getting? Return on investment means, if I'm spending $1 million on a project, how soon do I recover in terms of the production and the products and the pricing and the profits? Is it going to come back in 6 months, 1 year, 2 years? After that, it becomes free, right? Now, the ROI is a very important part of any project. So ROI is a form of a control system which tells you that this is what is the time that is required for this investment to pay back. For different industries, there are different ROIs worked out. There are norms and thumb rules, right? A service sector ROIs are pretty faster, shorter cycles of time as compared to manufacturing units. So one has to understand this part of it. If you look at the investment as a cost, then the ROI doesn't come. But if an investment is seen as an investment, there's always a returns, right? Next, we talk about internal audit. Very, very common and very, everybody knows about it. Two types of auditing is take place. What is called a statutory audit, for which an external auditor, particularly finance I'm talking about, they come and audit you. They see whether you guys have done properly, whether everything is going legally as per the the laws of the land. To see that that is done properly, we do a preparatory called internal audit. So there's an internal auditor who's there in the company, and he ensures that everything is going on proper. That part of it is internal audit. Now we talk about responsibility accounting. Now responsibility accounting, as the name indicates, responsibility. The particular unit that's working, okay? Now these units could be either department-wise, division-wise, or section-wise. Every unit is taking an accountability for delivering certain things. We will ensure that we are delivering products on time to the next department. We will ensure that this is coming at this type of internal costing. So there are a number of things that is taken as their responsibility. Now these responsibility centers generate reports to ensure that they are in the proper path. So the responsibility accounting is very, very common, particularly in organizations which are having a number of processes that take you to the final product. Responsibility accounting does two things. One, it takes care of the resources flow properly. Second is, it adds that responsibility towards oneself and one's job, both individually and also as a team. Okay? Costs are allocated department wise rather than product wise. Each department, section or division is fixed as responsible centers. An individual is responsible for his area of operation, particular section, department or division. Cost is allocated. Keep the costs under control. We need a measurable, right? So we say, this is the cost allocation we're giving for you. In your department, whatever components are being made, they should be within this cost. So the responsibility center, what does it do? It ensures that it goes and picks up vendors, picks up service people who are responsible for giving the components, and ensures that within the cost it is done. Of course, the standard costing of these components are made after careful study about reality. They can't be done arbitrarily, they can't fix it. Otherwise, it will be like cost cutting. That is not correct. That will result in a quality issue. Right? That's about responsibility accounting. Now we come to managerial statistics. Using this technique, the manager compares past results with the current results in order to know the causes of deviation. Balance sheets. Right? We have different schedules in the balance sheet. We also have the typical balance sheet. We got the operating cost and the operating income on the top and all those things, you know, PAT and all that stuff. So all this is coming under manager statistics. Manager, because the report helps a manager to take decisions. Helps anybody who wants to take a decision know the health of the company. Okay? Critical path method, CPM. I spoke about it sometime back. I'll speak about it a little later. It's all about, it's an algorithm for scheduling a set of project activities. It's an important tool for effective project management. To put it in simple terms, there are two tools called CPM and PERT, P-E-R-T, PERT. PERT stands for Project evaluation and review technique. CPM stands for critical path method. Both these are control elements, control tools used to monitor whether the project is within the cost and within the time. I'm just putting it in a nutshell because there's a separate subject altogether which is covered under project management. A lot needs to be spoken about, but I want to speak only a little bit of this. The reason being, many of you may not be coming from a project background, so I don't want to confuse you and waste your time, right? So production control is what happens in our regular production center. As a matter of fact, in the first company where I joined, I started off as a production engineer, then I went into production planning and control department, wherein we used to plan for the production in the shop floor on a daily basis, on a shift basis, and also learn to control it in such a way that the output is coming out. So we use, if you recall, I spoke about it in the development of management thought, the chapter Gantt chart. A Gantt chart is used to do production control, right? So those are some of the techniques which we use. So now we are discussing management information system, which I spoke about some time back. It's nothing but it's relevant information is collected and transferred to all the persons who are responsible to take decisions. A communication system is developed through which all levels of persons are informed about the growth of the organization. It's very simple. The different departments, the different sections, divisions, etc., they give their reports, and that keeps going up to the top management. MIS is given, for that matter, to anybody who wants to take a decision. MIS is not a linear information, it's a collection of number of information coming together for the purpose of taking decision. If I want to know what is going to be the growth of the company in the next 2 years, then I need to have marketing information about the products sold and all that for the last so many years. I must also know the capacity of the production and how much of realistic production is going on today. So there's a number of comprehensive data, detailed data that has to come to my table that comes under MIS. MIS is usually IT based. So we have all the IT systems satellite linked, you know, all the data comes to us on a real time basis, and then you have to take decisions. In a service sector, MIS is very, very critical, because in a service sector, MIS has to be updated by the minute, by the hour. Very important, as compared to production. So in both the cases anyway, MIS is an important tool, which is a control system to tell us in which direction the company has to go, right? Next comes external audit control, which I spoke about some time back. Statutory audit control we talk about, which is evident from the name itself. It's a auditing that is done by auditors to ensure that the company is complying with the audit norms of the organization. Very simple. Then we have zero-based budgeting, a very interesting thing. Zero-based budgeting comes into account when the organization is going through a certain type of a project wherein the accountability is very high and they would like to have total cost control and also on spending. Now, it operates in the following manner broadly. Not always the same, but broadly it operates in the same manner, in this following manner. In any book of accounts, whenever at the end of the year, financial year, what do? We transfer whatever is carried forward to the next financial year, right? If there's a profit, it's carried forward to the next financial year, brought forward into the new financial sheet, right? The profit or the losses. Now, in a zero-based budgeting, everything starts from zero. Whether there was a loss in the last year or the profit in the last year, we take a fresh new look with a fresh new accountability. That is the important thing to be added. So I go to the management and I say, look, I want this particular budget. They say, okay, take it. What is it you're giving me back in return? The accountability level is so high that the past is not taken as a reference point. That's what we actually do in a zero-based budgeting broadly. There are variations to it. The best person to tell you is a financial expert. But the control systems is what I can explain to you. It's about ensuring that every year starts with a fresh new note. We don't bring forward anything from the past year, right? So let me read out from the slide. This is a new technique and has become very popular within a short period. It's prepared without considering the previous year's figures. This technique requires the recalculation of all the organizational activities to ascertain which should be eliminated, reduced or increased. In other words, the funds are estimated at current requirements. It means finding out how much amount is necessary to complete an ongoing project. Meaning, There's a rethinking at the end of every year. If we are into profits, how come the profits have come? Are there some areas where we have missed out? If there is a loss, how come the losses have come? Before we start any fresh budgeting given to the department or the section, the questions are asked so that it is reduced year after year, year after year, the deficit, the brought forward or the surplus. This is a very ideal situation if you look at it, because every year when I know that I'm getting this much amount of profits or this much amount of losses, and if I know that I can control it on a yearly basis, it becomes very easy for organizations to operate. Allocation of budget becomes very easy for departments. We know our financial strength, where we stand. So those are very important aspects that happens with zero-based budgeting. But a word of caution, zero-based budgeting cannot happen unless and until there are excellent control system from the top. People have to be self-driven and responsible. Experts have to have the vision to do what they're doing. Because if these factors are missing, then the control system of zero-based budgeting goes for a toss. There have been companies which have resorted to zero-based budgeting and things have worked out very, very shabby and they've reverted back to the old one. Suffice it to say, zero-based budgeting is high accountability for the division or the section of the company that resorts to it, right? Now we talk about standing orders. These cover rules and regulations, discipline, procedures, etc. Which, for example, no employee should have the office, should leave the office before office time without getting prior permission in writing. Standing orders are nothing but control system for the employees to ensure that they do something, they do not do something. Like I told you earlier, discipline constraints for the purpose of a certain goal, standing orders. Then we have budgetary control. The preparation of budget is also one of the control techniques followed by management. This subtopic, I can call it, budgetary control is a very important part of controlling system. Now, in any book on management, they'll only be talking about budgetary control for finance. Budgetary control is there for everything, which is not covered in most texts. Does a budgetary control required for materials, or machines, for labor, for men, for everything around, there is a budgetary control required. Budgetary control, it comes from the word budget. Budget is coming from the French word budget. Budget means a small bag. If you notice during the annual budget, union budget, you'll find the finance minister carrying a small bag symbolically towards when he enters a parliament. Have you noticed it? That budget is symbolic of the fact that within the bag, certain amount of money is put. And within that money, I'm going to be running the show. Typical budgeting you can see now at home with your mother or your housewife. We have lots of money, but we will be taking a certain amount of money and running it. Budgetary control is a testimony about how you are able to be a good manager. Lots of money is available, but I am giving a budget. The pocket money which some of you get from your parents is a budget. You will cry and crib, I know. But then at the end of the day, what are your parents teaching you? They are teaching a budgetary control. How? They say, all this money is there, but I am giving you so much. I want to know whether you can do what is management. What is management? Optimum utilization of available resources. You see how the learning is so pronounced. A budgetary control ensures that you are optimally utilizing available resources. You are actually managing the resources. You know, one of the exercises I conduct in some full-time class and also in my training programs is, I ask a question to people. How much of pocket money do you have? Do you get in a month? So they say, they shoot out a figure X. I said, can you cut it down to 50%? It's not possible. I said, put down all the various items that come into your monthly expenses. They put it down. And when they're putting it down, I tell them, now be very clear and sensitive. Which of these are wasteful expenditure? It takes quite a while for the students to respond. Some of them, they respond and they say, sir, 50% of it is a waste, I realize, as he is doing the checking. Then I suggest to them, look, would you like to cut it down to 50%, your pocket money? Some of them say yes, some of them say no and all that thing. And a few of them, dedicatedly, they take up the project. And then they say, fine, if I'm getting 5,000 per month, I'll cut it down to 2.5. And within 2.5, they run it. And some of them are sincere enough to do it very dutifully, trust, with a lot of, you know, honesty, and they come back and tell me, sir, it's working out very well. In 2.5, I can run my life very well. It's happiness, joy, without being miserly. The purpose of budget is not to make you a miser. The purpose of budget is not to squeeze the purse. The purpose of budget is to teach you skills of controlling. If I can do something in 5,000, I can do it in 2.5 also. If I can do it in 2.5, I can do it in 1,000. Are organizations not doing this today to most of you? What do your bosses tell you when you go with your annual budget to your boss, when you go to your division? Month after month, some of you must be going to your boss to give you a budget. This is a budget I need for running my department. And when you work it out, the boss will slash it to 50%. Of course, with honest intention, when he does it, you know why he's doing it. And he tells you that if you can run your department in, say, 10 lakhs, you can still run it in 8 lakhs. He shows it to you. Most of you must have gone through this. So budgetary control is a maturity of a person to understand how to conserve resources and how to understand that I can still run my company, my division, with the optimum utilization of resources. It's a very important and a beautiful way of understanding how matured I am, how aware I am, how much of waste I'm doing, how much of utility I'm doing. Okay? So, taking it further, now suddenly this particular slide has come in. It's about PERT, which I spoke about some time back, project management. So, PERT chart looks something like this. These arrows point towards a certain activity time. T time, 3 months. 3 MO means months. So, there's an activity 10. It leads you to activity 30. There's a start of an activity, there's an end of an activity. And the start of another activity going towards 40. So, this PERT chart actually plots the total time taken at different stages, and totally if you see 3 months, 1 month, all these put together, this is a 10 is a start and 50 is a finish. 10 is a start and 50 is a finish. There is activity 10, activity 20, activity 30, activity 40, activity 50. These are some numbers given. They can be A, B, C, D, E also. Right? Now why they are given 10 and 20, there is also rational. Between 10 and 20, if there is another activity coming up, it may be given as 11 or maybe 15. Right? Now, there are some activities which have to go in a certain order, serial activities, and some are what are called as parallel activities. I am not explaining into details of it. I just want to show you in a snapshot how these the PERT chart operates, right? And there are certain things which are marked red. The red line which goes is also indicative of the worst case scenario, right? So this is about PERT, and now I take you to the PERT chart. I'll explain this to you. It's a name given to the networking approach to planning, monitoring, controlling and evaluation of a complex projects. It consists of a network diagram, which is a two-dimensional schematic of this relationship between tasks in a project. PERT is used for non-repetitive projects that have been done before and will not be done again in precisely the same manner for any project for the matter. PERT technique has been used for projects such as developing missiles, nuclear power submarines, and for the program that landed the first man on moon. These are all the bigger ones. PERT is being used everywhere. Building up an aircraft in the Boeing plant at Seattle in US, or Airbus in Toulouse in France. You know, these are being built, and we have to have a PERT chart. So any project needs a PERT chart. It's a planning tool which enables a project manager to estimate the time required to complete a proposed project. It also provides a time schedule for various project activities and for checking of the scheduled time against the actual time taken for an activity. It's just a run through the whole thing. I'm taking it further. Now, critical path, as I referred to you earlier, refers to the quantitative technique. Quantitative technique, which when applied to network planning is helpful in calculating the minimum time and the sequence of tasks needed to complete the project. To put it in a nutshell, CPM, there are variations. I worked for a project organization and we used to use CPM in different contexts. Now, one of the purposes of CPM, the purpose is to understand the worst case scenario, critical path method. Worst case scenario means the longest time taken, assuming that there could be delays in the future. Or the maximum amount of money that could be spent, the worst case scenario, assuming that there may be cost overruns. Now, that is what is the purpose of a CPM. I'm giving you the purpose, and it is given in different contexts in different books. So through a CPM, I plot the worst case scenario of time as well as money. Now, when I plot the worst case scenario, assuming all the future negative possibilities, I come to know that if my project starts today and it is supposed to end on a particular date, this far is what it could go. Which means this could be the most expensive scenario in terms of time and money. Once I know that, then I know how to work backwards to ensure that I take proper controls at the start and during the project, week after week monitoring, month after month monitoring, quarterly monitoring, etc. So that I know that frightening scenario doesn't come to us. A CPM is an essential part of the plotting of a PERT chart before the activity starts. Okay. Now the budget part of it has again come in here. A plan expressed in monetary terms need not be monetary all the time, like I told you. Prepared and approved prior to the budget period, which shows income, expenditure and the capital employed. It may be drawn showing incremental effects on former budgeted figures or compiled by zero budgeting also. So it can be like your dad gave you when you were in junior college, he must have given you 1,000 rupees per month. Now when you go to the college, when you start doing the graduation, he may give you 1,500 compared to 1,000. Assuming that you're going to be having more activities and more friends and stuff like that, right? So either it can be comparable or he can give you an absolute money of say 5,000 or whatever money. Now it can be comparable to the last year, the budgeting, or it can be absolute in terms of zero-based budgeting, right? This is a establishment of a budget relating the responsibilities of executive management to the requirements of policy and continuous comparison of actual and budgeted results. Okay, those are all wordings. Control should ensure that actions are in accordance with the objective of the policy in question. Very important. Don't just control for the heck of it. Don't stop giving money to people just because you want to control money. That's stupid. Stop giving money. You give money that is required and have a rationale behind it. To develop your managerial skills, I need to control budgetary control. I need to do that. What do you mean by managerial skills? I want to make you realize that it's not what you think. Take the case of iPhone. iPhone components have been sourced by these people in various parts of the world by using budgetary control. The cost is so well controlled and quality is also optimum, highest. It's possible only because when someone says it can't be done, I'll show you how it can be done. So when this is frequently told, then it has got a meaningfulness. But if it's just being told for the heck of it, no, it can be done, and just leave it at that open without any backup, then that's not controlling. That's not budgetary control. That's just being done for the heck of it. So ensure that when you're doing a budgetary control, there's a rationale behind it. Let the rationale be understood by people. It should be intelligible to people. If you're talking in air, people don't understand, then they will not have a respect for the budgetary control. Then they may even cut corners and do just the opposite. Be careful. Okay? Control should ensure that the actions are in accordance with the objective of the policy in question. Also provides a basis for its revision. Okay? Elements of budgetary control: setting up of budgets, plan targets or revenues, expenses, assets and liabilities relating to the activities concerned. Measuring actual results. This is the same thing as controlling, which we just explained. Measuring actual results against the budgets on a continuous basis. Identifying and analyzing deviations from budgets and modifying both actual operations and subsequent budgets. Okay. Preparation of a budget, identify objectives. Gather data about alternatives. It's a planning approach basically. Select alternative courses of action. Discuss the plans, activities and allocate the budget. Going down to the micro. Establishing monitoring mechanisms. How to ensure that the budget is going in the proper direction. In terms of its use, respond to problems encountered in the previous budget, which we can preempt in the current budget. Okay. Now, what's the purpose of a budget? One is it's to coordinate. Important for the achievement of organization goals. Coordinate inputs and outputs in order to ensure balance of efforts and effects. Coordinate budget lines within the organization to ensure effective implementation of plans and monitoring of results. Coordinate responses to economic trends and challenges posed by the environment within which programs and activities are undertaken. Let me come out of the words. The purpose of budgeting is to coordinate. Coordinate means what? Coordination, as I told you earlier, is about creating linkages. when I make a budget for myself, I am optimizing my expenditure. Why do I need to optimize my expenditure? Because it is connected with my income, which may or may not go up next year. The income may or may not go up next year because of the national policy or something related to that. So there are a number of things that are related that makes you, that makes it imperative for budgetary control to happen. Budgetary control is required because if the budgetary control is done in every section, every department, the coordination of using the resources optimally is achieved. That's the basis of all these words that are given here. Okay? Next is communication. The budget is used to communicate plans and control information. Once formulated, the aspects of the plan having a bearing on a particular division of the organization are communicated to that division. It's nothing but telling people, look, this is what is allocation. And through this allocation, please make things happen and take it further. It's already covered under the earlier one of coordination. When I'm coordinating, I'm anyway communicating, right? It's for motivation. Every control system should have a motivation. The budget seeks to motivate managers to achieve objectives and thereby establish control within the organization. Performance evaluation. A budget is used to evaluate the capability of managers to achieve targets. Already explained earlier, the less and less I start getting budgetary allocations, the more and more my managerial skills increase. That brings us to the end of this particular module. Before I conclude, I'd like to say something. The controlling is just not a function. Controlling is a way of life. You as management students, people are listening to me. If you really want to make your life happen, start controlling most of your things that you do by first setting a goal for yourself and then planning. And when you plan and set your goals and you actually come to the action, you will find that a part of you is trying to pull you towards away from the discipline. Now put yourself into discipline and see that the goals are achieved. When you experience controlling within you, you will understand why controlling takes place in organizations. Thank you very much.